so rough. So it was both an institutional pleasure as well as a personal pleasure to welcome Reverend Weinberg. We thank him for showing us the kavod and the honor of spending time with us this evening. Thank you very, very much.
Shalom, shalom. Our Tresky is in many ways a very old, dear friend. Not only do I work in Morisha, but he was kind enough to sort of guide me into that position. Anyways, this is it's a great schuss to be here. And Baruch Hashem, I've had five very action-packed days here in Eretz Yisrael. And this is my final stop, my final teaching stop for this trip. Which means that it has an extra special flavor to me. So I thank you for opening up your doors to let me in. I thought, this close to Purim, how can we talk about anything other than Inyanei Purim? And I want to talk specifically about the topic of Amalek. I'm sure we all have in our mind our own understanding of what Amalek is. You grow up thinking, as the Chumash tells us, Timcha Ezecher Amalek. Hashem says, Emcha Ezecher Amalek. Do whatever you can to erase Amalek. Whatever it takes to get rid of Amalek from planet Earth. That's the avodah of the Jewish people. Open up the Chumash to the end of Parshas B'Shalach. It's a pasuk, a beautiful pasuk, a powerful pasuk. What are we told? The Jewish people are told, what's the pasuk? I can't remember the pasuk. Mechama l'Hashem v'Amalek midor dor. The Jewish people have a battle against Amalek in every single generation. And it's a mechama l'Hashem, it's not our personal battle. It's not we're fighting for ourselves. Melchama l'Hashem, we're fighting for Hashem. Amalek comes to this world to try to uproot all holiness, to bring negativity, to bring a critical attitude, mockery to this world. And Hashem entrusts the Jewish people to defend His honor. Melchama l'Hashem v'Amalek midor dor. It's interesting, you think about the battle of Amalek. The Zohar writes that the battle of Amalek is the greatest battle that was ever fought in the world history. So you're going to say, well, what about the coming of Mashiach? Mechama is Gog u'Magog. That's certainly going to be a more significant battle. So the Zohar Dafka says, no, it's not true. The greatest battle that ever will be fought, that ever was fought, is fought door to door. It's for all generations. It's an old battle. It's a future battle. The battle of Amalek is the single greatest battle of all time. It's an old battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world when He first created the world, and He sees that man is making terrible decisions. And Hashem says, I see the heart of man is corrupted. It can't. Man's not able to think straight. And what does Hashem say? Hashem looks at his world and He says, it's rak ra kol hayom. Rak ra kol hayom. It's always wrong, it's always bad, things are just going bad. So there's great Hasidic Rebbe, the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe. The name of the Sefer is Imre Emes. He writes, look at the words, rak ra kol hayom. He says the last letters, the Sofei Tevot, spell Amalek. Why? Because again, anything that's ra, anything that's negative, anything that's the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our Torah, and everything that we spend our life trying to do, it's all embodied by Amalek. Rak, rak, kol hayom, sofei tevos Amalek. We know that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Jewish people were on the 49th level of Tumah. We fell to the 49th level of lowliness, of unholiness. And Hashem in His kindness decided at the last minute, I'm going to get Klal Yisrael out. He's going to redeem us before we fall to level 50, the point of no return. Lo yuchal ismameya, they couldn't wait another second. Hashem says, I'm getting you out just in time. There's this idea, level 50, this point of no return. The word Tamei, the gematria of the word Tamei is 50. Why? Because there are 50 madrigot of Tumah. So what is this mysterious level 50? We were on level 49. That's a pretty low place for a Jew to be holding. What's level 50? What is this level 50, this point of no return? What could it be? What could it possibly be? So the Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Halberstam, a very great tzaddik of the previous generations. He says, you know what level 50 is? Level 50 is Amalek. It's the point of no return. There's nothing there. There's nothing to negotiate. There's nothing to extract from there. There's no, it's tamei in all 50 madrigot. It's completely tamei. There's nothing there for us to come into contact with a value. And that number 50 is very significant. And if you don't like gematrias, don't worry, it's over soon. I know some people don't like gematrias. Some people love gematrias, some people don't like gematrias as much. The number 50 is very significant. We look around by Amalek, it's always, we're talking about 50 because, again, they represent all 50 levels of Tamei. The place that Mitzrayim wouldn't bring us, Amalek tries to bring us. Open up the Tanakh. I know people study Tanakh very seriously here. Open up the Tanakh. Sit down if you have a lot of free time and go through all of Tanakh and tell me, how many times does Amalek's name appear in all of Tanakh? How many encounters with the Malik do we find in Tanakh? Take a guess. 50. Right? Now the truth is, someone here is going to be a brilliant Tanakh scholar. I'm going to get called out on it. And you're going to say, hold on, Moshe, see, I went through all of Tanakh and I found that there are 51 mentions of a Malik in Tanakh. And this idea was brought in this very small sefer, Hasidic work, you know, the type of book that you find in that tiny little crack in the wall in Me'e Sharam. You have to dust off the cover just to see what the name of the book is. All right? There's a little sefer called Orav Simcha, the Rebbe of Baranov. And he says in a beautiful, beautiful insights, beautiful drush, he says, a Malik appears 50 times in Tanakh. And he says, I know you're going to say it's 51 times, but he says, Sdei ha'amaleki, it has nothing to do with the nation of Amalek. It happens to be that the word Amalek is part of, right, the field of the Amaleki, but that has nothing to do with the nation of Amalek that we're talking about. So excluding that one, as he goes on to explain, there are 50 mentions of Amalek in Tanakh. And the reason is because Amalek represents all 50 levels of Tumah. When Haman decides to try to destroy Mordechai Tzadik, Mordechai Tzadik representing the Amir Kulam Tzadikim, the Koach of a Jew to bring holiness to this world. How big is the gallows which Haman builds? 50 amot. Why? Because again, it's Haman versus Mordechai. It's the Jews representing holiness. It's the Jews representing Hashem's presence in this world. And it's a Amalek doing everything they can to uproot that presence from this world. So this is the Amalek that we're used to encountering. It's entirely negative. There's nothing to come into contact of any value. And it's our job to destroy them. It's an uncomfortable mitzvah. You think about this, it's not a comfortable mitzvah. Kill men and women, and kill their babies, and kill their children. We've shown them debate, you have to destroy their possessions, you know? Lest someone say that this iPhone once belonged to someone from Amalek. Right, so you have to destroy all the big machlokas we've shown him. The simple explanation, Timcha Zecher Amalek, no trace of them. Erase every last shred of evidence that there ever was a nation called Amalek. This is what we're used to thinking. But I want to present in a little bit of time we have together, and I promise, Bezrat Hashem, to get everyone to dinner on time. I know that's a sensitive issue. I've been informed by the Hanhala about this important matter. I want to try to present to you two different themes in Amalek. Maybe a different way to look at Amalek. A different encounter with Amalek. And maybe not so much killing the Amalek and destroying the Amalek. Maybe we can engage them in a different way. The Rambam writes the following in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam in the sixth parak, Hilchos Malachim, kings u'milchem oseyem, kings in their wars. How does the Rambam begin the sixth parak? He writes that when the Jewish people go out to battle, as the Torah tells us, we offer peace. We always seek to make peace with our enemies. We offer peace, and the Rambam says, not all Rishonim agree to this, but the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Malachim, parak vav halacha aleph, kings in their wars, chapter 6, halacha number 1. He says, whether it's a melchemes reshus or a melchemes mitzvah, whether it's an optional battle, whether it's a mandatory battle, a God-ordained battle, right? We always offer peace. That's what the Rambam says. Not everyone agrees to that. That's what the Rambam says. A few halachot later, you go to halacha dalet, perek vav halacha dalet. The Rambam says something shocking. He says, who do we offer peace to? We offer peace to anyone. We offer peace to the seven nations that live in Israel. We even offer peace, says the Rambam, to who? Of all people, Amalek. Amalek? Since when do we offer peace to Amalek? I thought Amalek, we come in there with our weapons and we take them out, men, women, children, babies, everything. Amalek, we offer peace? This is the chiddush of the Rambam. It's not a simple conclusion that the Rambam has. There's a tshuva, Shailos and Tshuvos of the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sakhachov, his wonderful, famous halachic work, Avnei Nezer, and he writes that the Rambam is not a simple matter. This assumption that the Rambam is making is not simple at all. It's built on different Mamar Chazal. We don't have time to go into it right now. But you should just realize it's not at all a simple assumption to assume that we make peace with Amalek. Where can we perhaps find the source for this? Where do we see anywhere in Tanakh? Do we have any indication that there's an element of Amalek that we negotiate with, we talk to, we live, right? They have to be Kabbalah, the Shevet Mitzvah, B'nai Noach, and you'll live over here, and we'll live over there, and it'll be beautiful, and everyone will work together. At least we'll live civilly as neighbors. Where do we see such an idea? So the Brisker Rav said, look in Shmuel Aleph. Go back to Shmuel Aleph when Shaul HaMelech is told to destroy Amalek. What is he told? Shaul HaMelech is told, Lech ve'echramta, Lech go ve'echramta, right? And destroy Es HaChataim, Es Amalek. Go and destroy the sinners, go and destroy Amalek. So the Brisker Rav says, the sinners, the Amalek, right? Es Hachatam es Amalek. What's the pshat? Leich vechram to es hachatam es Amalek. Apparently there are Amalekim that are sinful, that need to be destroyed. And apparently there's another element in the Amalek. There's an Amalek that we can negotiate with. There's an Amalek we can offer peace to. There's an Amalek who can commit themselves to living civilly side by side with the Jewish people. Perhaps that's the source. Interesting, again, it's Lech, right? Lech Vechramta. What's the gematria of the word Lech? 50. Zachorat Asher Asa Lecha, Amalek. Remember what Amalek tried to do? Lecha. What's the gematria of Lecha? 50. Amalek's always trying to drag us down to this very lowly place. And yet, even there, Lech Vechramta Asachatam Asa Amalek. There are sinners of Amalek, and then there are other elements within Amalek. An Amalek we can live with. Let's take it one step further. Make it a little more radical. You're sitting here learning in seminary, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your apartment door, wherever, I don't know what the dorming situation is here. You get a knock on the door, it's your lovely Amaleki neighbor, right? And she says to you, you know, I see that you're sitting here studying, and I want to know what it's about. So you give her your Tanakh, and she reads through it, and she says, you know, this is beautiful. I want to convert to Judaism. Would we accept converts from Amalek? Would we accept a convert? Ah, so everyone's very quick to answer this one. Everyone's like, some people are very like, yeah, absolutely. And some are like, no way. Okay? No? You're both right. Everyone's right. Everyone wins. Why are you all right? Because in Judaism, Baruch Hashem, we have many different opinions. If you look in the Medrash Halacha, the Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Shemos. And if you're learning through Rashi and Chumash, you'll always see at the end of the Rashi, when you're learning Shemos, you'll see parentheses, Mechilta. Mechilta is the Medrash on Shemos, the Medrash Halacha. Not Agarata, not the story Medrash. The Medrash that teaches us Halacha. The Medrash says, we love converts. You're sincere, you like what we have to offer. You read through our holy books and you're inspired by it. You want to commit yourself to a life of Torah mitzvot. Beautiful, welcome. With one exception, Amalek. We do not, the Medrash says, we take converts from anyone. Any of the 70 nations, with one exception, we will not accept a convert from Amalek. After what they did to you, what they did to us, Zachor es asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Remember that, don't forget that. We don't take converts from Amalek. And again, you look in the Rambam, and the Rambam paves a different path. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, the Rambam makes it sound like, sure, anyone's welcome, even a Malik, come and join us. You're sincere, you go through the process, you come to the Beis Din, you're Mekabel the Mitzvahs, you go to the Mikvah for a male, for a Malik, you have to have Bris Mila. There's a process for conversion. You want to come and join us, you're sincere, says the Rambam, welcome to the Jewish people. Shalom Aleichem. Where does the Rambam get this from? Do we see anywhere converts from a Malik? So there are many sources that are identified. I'll just share with you one Gemara, an interesting Gemara, especially in the context of Purim. The Gemara says, Maseches Gittin, that the Bnei Banav Shel Haman lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak. The descendants of Haman studied Torah in Bnei Brak. I don't know if you had a chance to visit Bnei Brak this year. Yes? No? Not yet? Maybe? Right? If you know anything about Bnei Brak, you know, I live in America, unfortunately. When I come to Eretz Yisrael, you know, every place is special. You go to Bnei Brak, it's like a very intense, intensely religious place. It's not just like the children of Haman were learning Torah. Children of Haman, the descendants of Haman are sitting in the Panovich Yeshiva learning in Kola. Like that's like in Bnei Brak, there's a certain like image that Chazal are trying to paint. Right? The Bnei Banav Shel Haman study Torah in Bnei Brak. Wow. So how could this be? How could it be? You know, imagine someone comes to his yeshiva in Bnei Brak, and he's introducing himself to the chavrusa that was assigned to him. He says, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? My name is Haman Rosenberg. Haman Rosenberg, that's a beautiful name. Who are you named? That's my great-grandfather. Okay, very nice, you know. Interesting chavrusa. Bnei Banav Shel Haman lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak. The descendants of Haman study Torah in Bnei Brak. So yeah, we'll take, maybe there's room for someone from Amalek to convert to Judaism. Let's bring it a little more halacha l'maisa. A case that was actually posed and discussed in a very real way after the Shoah, after World War II. There's a wonderful sefer called Chukas HaGer. And in this sefer, it discusses the following very uncomfortable shaila. There was a Nazi soldier. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, right? Can we call the Nazis Amalek? Are they the biological descendants of Amalek? Do they have Amalek in their blood? Maybe yes, maybe no. But Amalek's an idea. Right, Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav's father, Moshe Soloveitchik, developed an idea that Amalek is an attitude, it's an outlook. Many other Sfarim talk about it as well. So we often refer to the Nazis and their desire to destroy everything as Amalek. So imagine the following, not imagine it, it happened. There was a Nazi soldier who was responsible directly for the killing of Jewish people. Jewish blood on his hands, hundreds of Jewish people. Nazi soldier who strangled Jewish babies, Rachman al-Atzlan, with his own hands. a murderer, a vicious murderer, hundreds, maybe thousands of Jews passed beneath his fingers. And all of a sudden, after the war, picks up a Tanakh, and he says, you know, I don't even know who these people are. And he starts to read a little bit. He's very inspired. And he comes to the rabbi of the town, and he says, you know what? I feel terrible about what I did. And I think the best way for me to show my sincere repentance is to convert to Judaism. We allow a Nazi soldier, it's no longer the theoretical, the Medrash Mechilta and the Rambam. Halacha l'maisa, a Nazi soldier comes to the Beis Din and says, I want to convert to Judaism. His hands are sullied with Jewish blood. We let such a person join our people. And while it's a difficult shaila, it's a very jarring image, he paskins in the end, back and forth, the poskim seem to say that yes, as difficult as it is for us to imagine, you're going to call this person to get an aliyah and shul on Shabbos, he's going to lead the tzibur. He's a person who's going to sit in the shiurim, be a member in the community, send shalach manos to this person. He's going to live right next door, your kids are going to play at his house. It's very difficult for us to understand. Maybe that's because we don't fully understand the power of tshuva. Right? There's room even for a Nazi soldier. The halacha allows for such a thing. What's the simple mussar that we can take from this picture that I'm trying to paint with you of a malik? I think there's a very, very simple lesson that we need to take to heart from this. You know, a person decides, you've all decided, you're spending your time learning Torah and Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing better than that. And you made a commitment to work on yourself, to better yourself, in all areas of Avodas Hashem. In your davening, in your Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, to learn better, to be better. Right? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, you know what, there's certain things about me that I can work on, and there's certain things I just can't change. Certain things that this is just who I am. It's the way I am. Hashem, you made me this way. What do you want from me? You programmed me this way. For some people, davening is I went to visit my wife's grandmother today. She lives in Rehavia. She's an unbelievable woman. She could sit and daven all day. I can't, I go to shul, right? I put on my tefillin, I put on my talis, I'm staying with the sitter, and, you know, 40 minutes feels like a long time. She's sitting all day with her tefillin, with her sitter, menuchat ha-nefesh, nothing to worry about. She sits there all day. It goes so smooth for her, and it's such a struggle for me. Some people, so maybe davening is not my thing. Learning Torah. Some people connect with it deeply, intellectually, emotionally. You're feeling connected to it. For other people, it's a great struggle to feel anything when you're learning. Some people, it's a midah, right? Maybe you're haughty. Maybe you have a temper problem. For other people, it's a particular yetzer hara, a certain taiva. Sometimes, Rahmanallah, some people struggle with addiction. Things that they're trying to work on, and they get to a point where they say, Rabbanu Shalom, I've been working on this, I don't think I can change. What does Hashem say back to you? Chutzpah. How dare you think you can't change? Pull out a Rambam, says Hashem. Look at the Rambam. A Malik can change. So you're going to look Hashem in the face, kiviyachol. You're going to look at the Rabbanu Shalom and say, Elokai neshamash nesata bi tahorahi. The God who put the Holy Spark inside of me. The God who put, like it says in Sefer Iyov, a chelek elokah mimal. Just translate the words. Chelek, a portion of elokah, of God, mimal, from on high. Hashem, kiviyachol, gave himself and put it inside of you. And you're telling me that's not strong enough to change? I can't daven better? I can't be a little nicer to the girl who I'm not so connected with? I can't be a little more thoughtful to my parents who sent me to Eretz Yisrael for the year? I can't be a little more committed to working on stopping to speak Lashon Hara? I can't change? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at a Malik. If a Malik can change, you better believe that you can change. It's a simple mussar I think we take from this very different picture of a Malik, on a Malik that we're not used to encountering. The Malik we can live side by side with, the Malik that's willing to change. But I want to go back to the Malik that we're used to. The Malik, so to speak, that we grew up with. Right? The Malik that says, Melchama la Hashem ba Malik midor dor. The Malik we're told to kill and to destroy because they want to destroy you. What can we learn from that? The Amalek who tries to drag us to level 50. The Amalek who tries to destroy us. What can we learn? Is there anything that in some way, in a deep way, can we find some message contained within that hateful and angry and cynical Amalek? I think the answer is as follows. When you read through Megillas Esther, like Yehudim Haisa Ora, V'Simcha, V'Sasa, V'Yikar, when the Jews were saved, it was a gewaldic celebration. The Jews had Ora and Simcha and Sasa and Vikar. And the Gemara explains, La'ihudim, I saw Ora, Ora Zu, help me out, Ora Zu, Torah, famous Ora Zu Torah. Right? The Jews had light, the Jews had Torah. The Jews had Simcha. Says the Gemara, Simcha equals